Hey, it's Lisa Carlin from Attacking Third to tell you about the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. It's equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend. The Hyundai Santa Fe features available all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, plus available dual wireless charging pads, ensuring that you can take on any adventure. It's ski season, and with the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, I can easily load the car with all my gear plus my friends in the third row and make it right to the base of the slopes with all-wheel drive. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus. Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Attacking Third, a CBS Sports soccer podcast. I'm Sandra Herrera, lead NWSL writer for CBS Sports. Joined today, as always, by my colleague and co-host Lisa Roman, NWSL broadcaster and analyst for CBS Sports. On today's episode, we have a news and notes show for you all. There's a lot of things that have been happening across the globe in soccer. So, of course, we got to chat about it all. And we're going to do that with you all today. A quick reminder, hello and good morning to you all joining us in the chat. Appreciate you as always. Subscribe to us on YouTube. Give our videos a thumbs up, youtube.com/attackingthird. Get exclusive content preview recaps right here with us on A3. Good morning. Good morning to everyone good in the morning. Chat. Good morning to you, Lisa. How are you doing
good
this morning?
Morning. I'm grinding through the week. We're on Tuesday here. Here we go. But it's good. We've got a lot of news to digest today. We haven't done a news and notes breakdown in a couple days, a couple weeks, because we had the draft and then we had a lot of U.S. women's national team coverage. There's been a lot going on that we had to talk about. So now is when we kind of do our deep dive on everything that's been happening that maybe we haven't had a chance to talk about, because there's been some trades, there's been some news, there's been some updates, there's been a lot going on. So I'm really, really excited and interested to get your thoughts, especially on some of these trades that happened in the NWSL. But there's so much more to come before that. What about you, bud? How are you doing today on this lovely Tuesday morning?
You know me, thoughts. I have them for sure. Happy to chat about them on the show with you. I'm with you, though. Like, as you touched on that just now, I was thinking, I was like, gosh, I'm like, we haven't done like a new segment in a little while. I want to say maybe it's about a week out, but I mean, we had that, you know, the faux international window with covering January camp, and that kind of took priority for us to sort of take a look at those first games in 2023 for the United States women's national team. But that's done. We've put the bookend to that, closed the door on that. We're looking ahead. Everybody should go check out all the episodes that we did on it, whether they were previews or recaps or reactions to the roster. Because now we're going to get to talk about some things all across multiple areas of the globe, not just NWSL, although there is a ton of NWSL news that we have to touch on as well. But let's start with maybe something that's kind of fresh in our minds, coming off of a weekend of domestic club play. FA Women's Super League had a number of games that were canceled due to a frozen pitch. So just not safe conditions to be playing in. We saw Brighton and Arsenal get canceled. Chelsea and Liverpool get canceled. Brighton and Arsenal's a pitch at Broadfield Stadium. They took a look. You know, you always take a look at the pitch before you kind of take it whenever there's those type of kind of wintry conditions. But they said, hey, this after an inspection in the afternoon, like, we're going to have a new date and a new kickoff time, and there will be relevant ticket information announced. Chelsea and Liverpool was not as smooth, though. We saw how this game they attempted to play this game, and I'm a little I guess the word is surprised. I don't want to fool and be like I'm disappointed, but I am. I'm like, how did you like to, you know, you typically go through a pitch inspection before kicking the ball, and yet yep. even with that, even with the inspection, it's and saying that it was unplayable, you still try to take a run out. It's tough for me to really wrap my head around.
I agree. I mean, the fact that there ended up being three games postponed this past weekend in the Women's Super League. And I think the one that's maybe upsetting and a little bit infuriating the most is the Chelsea versus Liverpool game, because it was deemed unplayable. So then they were like, okay, we'll push back to 2 o'clock in the afternoon when the sun has been shining a little bit. We'll see if it thaws the ground and heats up the pitch a little bit. They end up having kickoff at 12:30, and they end up then stopping the game 6 minutes into the match. They said match abandoned. We're going to postpone this. It was suspended to be resumed at another point. And both managers were upset about this in their media talking about it. Emma Hayes for Chelsea's manager saying that it's about time we take this game seriously, whether it's managers not being the ones to decide, but FAs and officials, or that they shouldn't have even started after the match was deemed unplayable, that they need better facilities for women's domestic football, that they need to work on heating the pitch, right? That's the technology that we have. Like, why aren't they doing that? And should these games even be played in January? That was a conversation as well swirling around this, because between Brighton and Arsenal, Chelsea and Liverpool, and then Tottenham and Leicester City, they were all postponed due to a frozen pitch. And yes, for Brighton, Arsenal, and Tottenham and Leicester, they were postponed before the games actually started. But to play 5 minutes and then be like, oh yeah, it's still frozen. Like, why couldn't you have figured that out before kickoff? I don't understand that by any means. It's not fair to the players. It's not fair to the managers to have them be the ones making those decisions. It should be decided upon before the fact at that point. Because of this and everything that kind of happened, and the fans coming out to these games and not being able to watch anything happen, I know some of the players took to social media saying, hey, we're really sorry to all the fans that traveled, that bought tickets, that found their way to the stadium in order to watch this game. They end up seeing 5 minutes and then they all have to go home before, when they knew a couple hours before 9:30, before kickoff at 12:30, that the pitch was unplayable. That's frustrating to me as someone watching this and talking about it.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I mean, I think we're both in the same boat here in terms of like reaction or thoughts to something like this. I mean, you're talking multiple games. So the weather at this point affecting all the matches and all the pitches and essentially all the players. It brought back like some weird like flashbacks for me too. I remember being out in Bridgeview, having to cover, I believe it was a game between the Red Stars and the Reign. And there was a similar constant back and forth about possibly starting a pitch. And it was similar conditions. It was not just frozen, but really, really icy. And there was like still some downpouring of like really dangerous kind of sleet. And you had players try to attempt to like have a warm up, and then there was conversations between officials. And at the time, Brooke Elby was president of the Players Association, and it really sort of took a collaborative effort from players, unfortunately, to push the decision to postpone the game. And I remember being like, that's really unfortunate that it has to sort of like really be motivating factors by the team. And I'm thankful to hear a coach like Emma Hayes kind of, you know, go into these, you know, brief media rounds around the news about the postponement and say what she said, because she's not wrong. I agree with those as well, but sort of saying like, this is not acceptable. You have to make that decision. Managers should not be the ones
player.
Like, that's when I saw that quote, it immediately took me back to that moment, because I'm like, there are certain people who are supposed to make that decision, and then there are certain people who should not. Like, the players at this point, their job needs to be to show up and play the game. That is the job of a player.
Not determine if the elements allow them to do their job or not. That's going to be on someone else.
The managers need to provide the game plan. They need to manage the game and not have to worry about the
And the player's mindset needs to be, we're playing no matter what. If we're feels like we're running on concrete, if the ball doesn't bounce because it's frozen, they have to deal with those things and continue to play. That it can't be on the players or the managers to decide if it's too cold or not, if the field is too frozen.
Yeah, so hopefully we'll get some updates in terms of what those next dates look like, and hopefully the ticketing gets sorted out for those who are in attendance to try to watch a game, and maybe there will be an update. Maybe we'll get a chance to chat about that update as well. Of course, we want to shout out Liga MX Femenil, a very, very cool new partnership between Tigres Femenil and Bayern Munich. Was very cool to see this get announced, how alongside really a lot of different type of partnerships that we're witnessing. It sort of feels like these are becoming a little bit more and more common. We're looking at these very kind of unique situations where there are two international clubs and they sort of merge together to try to embark on a partnership, whether that's going to include something like shared resources or branding plans, or in this case, a really, really cool competition. And we got to shout out Tigres, because they're really, really great about trying to make their games accessible. And a lot of times you could catch a lot of their games specifically like on a Facebook watch. And they defeated Bayern 1-0, great goal in 20th minute by Lisbeth Ovalle. And really cool way to sort of just continue, just to see Tigres continue their, not only their constant success, but their new year in 2023.
I agree. And this partnership announced in December, so just about a month ago, December 2022. And the whole purpose of it, right, to grow the game, because Liga MX Femenil is only 6 years old. And in Mexico, they're really trying to attract more fans to these games because the competition is top notch, right? Tigres especially is winning all of these games, dominating the play in everything that they're doing. And so they want to make sure they're growing the game, getting the word out there about everything that's happening in Mexico and why it's so fantastic. So this partnership between Tigres and Bayern, it was announced in December of 2022. And this match that happened last Saturday, in which Tigres won, they defeated Bayern. I love that you said that. We got to repeat it. This was kind of the kickoff of the partnership, which is going to continue to snowball into more and more different opportunities to grow the game. I think every year it also announced in the partnership between them, every year Tigres is going to send three players and coaches to Bayern Munich to train at the campus alongside the women's team, which is very, very cool to see kind of that cross promotion and that cross branding between these two different clubs and how they're able to grow, because then you have Bayern fans starting to watch Tigres and starting to watch Liga MX Femenil, and that's how it works. It's this little bit of a snowball effect, but really exciting to see the start of this and the fact that it's already moving, right? December, it's announced. January, we're getting our first game. Let's see what happens next as this continues to grow and flourish.
Yeah, no, I love it. I love that you could hear from Bayern players sort of post-match and sort of listening to them and sort of like the rationale behind trying to find like a good partner across like internationally in terms of like you know, meeting, like checking off all those boxes, like so many of the really cool things that you just mentioned. And they were like, you know, a league, a really cool league with like really good players that we want to have that partnership with. It's Liga MX Femenil. And I love that because it is a young league and it is still a growing league, but that's not to say that there hasn't been an amazing strides that have been made over the course of a short time in the short history for this league. And I just love like the scenes like within this game, like that's the other thing that's really, really cool too. It's like you see a very iconic like club and brand like Bayern, and they're like, you know, they're looking at the Tigres Femenil and it's like, as equals essentially. And they're just like, if we play these games in Mexico, there's going to be like a really good turnout. There's going to be lots of history that's made. You're going to see like really, really good crowds getting into these games, crossing the turnstiles and getting into these, you know, seats to watch these two iconic clubs sort of just go head to head. And I loved it. I love that Tigres walked away with the win. I'm just like recounting it like back in my head right now, but it was Ovalle. They got the service on the goal and Uchenna that knocked it away in all my excitement of thinking about the game. That was like a thing that I did to like treat myself over the weekend. Like when we talk about like self-care and like things that you want to like do just for yourself, like just for fun. I was like, I'm just going to like just watch this game. And you know, maybe like we'll get to a point like things like these, that like partnerships like these are really important because you show the interest and hopefully that leads to even more access to the game. And it's tough. It's just like, oh, it's like, I mean, you're watching these games like on your phone, you know. It's like, I would love to like try to like, you know, get that out on my screen. So yeah, you can, there's workarounds around it, right? If you've got like all those smart devices and you can go ahead and do that. Yep. But love to see the numbers in the stands, love to see the numbers in terms of viewership, like on these streams, you know, you're talking about thousands and thousands and thousands. So I'm looking forward to seeing the continued partnership between these two teams moving forward. Internationally, more news, World Cup type of news. The official FIFA Women's World Cup ball has been released. Ta-da. Listen, I'm trying to make sure that we're saying it correctly, but we've got a great image of the ball up here in our live. Check it out. I love the colors. I love the design. Of course, I love the World Cup logo on that. Totally. That's what we're going to see. So many great teams kicking around in New Zealand and Australia.
Very special to see, and FIFA did it in a fun way. They post this little video out on their socials. Go check it out if you haven't seen it. We also did a little remix of it on Attacking Third, so go check it out. Of the ball kind of being carried by a helicopter over the skyline of Sydney in Australia, and then it gets placed at Marks Park, where it ends up being the FIFA Women's World Cup 2023 ball. It's designed, inspired by the unique landscape of Australia and New Zealand, which is very cool to see. You can see it in like the blue and the yellow and the green on it. And also 1% of all net profits going to the Common Goal projects to drive gender equity in sport. It's a celebration of the cultures of both host countries. And it's done by a great artist. I'm going to try to say it. Shirini Sutton and Maori artist, Fayoni Colis. The art is part of the brand identity for FIFA Women's World Cup, which is pretty cool. But it's a little special delivery in Sydney. That's how they dubbed it, coming from the Adidas helicopter. But I like it. I like the blue. I like the green. It looks like an ocean. It looks like a wave that they've got going on. It's just one more step closer to the World Cup, right? Like we're getting these tiny details, and that's what makes me so excited about everything that is to come for the 2023 Women's World Cup.
Love to see it. Love to talk about it. We're going to continue to talk about so many bits of news and notes coming up. We've got some NWSL news, breaking news to talk about. We're going to chat all about it after a quick break.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Dan Orlovsky, are you still a Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback available in the draft guy?
I think the three things that make it stand out for me are, number one, I think his ball placement versus man coverage is the best in the draft. Every quarterback in the NFL is accurate. He's got the best on tape. Number two, most transferable stuff to the NFL. And then I think the third thing is pocket peace.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
All right, let's chat all about some news in NWSL. Let's start with what's most recent, because, of course, once Attacking Third goes live, there has to be breaking news. We've got breaking news out of Kansas City Current. We'll be reacting to it live here. They make the announce that midfielder and veteran NWSL player, Canadian international and free agent Desiree Scott, has announced that she's re-signing and staying in Kansas City, will remain the Current's captain. Look, let's just react to it right now on the show. Lisa, are we going to see Kansas City in like an 8-2-1? They have got like plentiful amounts of midfielders. What are your first reactions to the re-sign?
Yeah, I think my first reaction is we're either going to see 6 or 7 in the midfield for Kansas City, where we're going to see some players out of position, because not only do they have so many midfielders on their roster, I haven't even had time to count up how many of them there are. Morgan Gautreaux, Keitel Fava has been playing in the midfield most recently, Desiree Scott, Lola Bonta, Sam Mewis, Vanessa DiBernardo, Alex Guerra has been pushed higher, playing Dabinia. They've also got in their midfield. So because of how stacked they are in the midfield, I am so curious to see if we see players out of position or quote, not out of position, but like trying different things, or if we see a different formation from Matt Potter about how to utilize all these central players. I mean, Desiree Scott was a free agent, and she's obviously been a free agent for a handful of months now, and she was one that maybe wasn't at the top of our most watched list to start the free agency period. It was Dabinia for us, you and me here at Attacking Third. And then when we kind of saw Kansas City make all these trades for players like Morgan Gautreaux and Vanessa DiBernardo, midfielders out of Chicago Red Stars, we were like, okay, interesting. Desiree Scott is still a free agent. What's going to happen here? Then most recently we see Dabinia, the free agent midfielder, signing with Kansas City. And we're like, okay, they've just gotten three brand new midfielders that – in addition to the ones that they already have, like, what does this look like for Desiree Scott? Where does she fit into this? How does she kind of fold into it? Because they did lose Kristen Edmonds, who did play more defensively. But I think alongside Desiree Scott, those two, I think that maybe I was like, okay, was Desiree Scott going to drop into the defense a little bit? Like, what's going to happen here? And now it's official. Desiree Scott has re-signed with Kansas City. The captain is staying in KC. I don't know what formation we're going to see from Matt Potter. I'm going to be really honest here. I don't know. Like a 3-6. I don't know.
I can't wait to see it. I guess I'll say 3-6-1. That. I'm with you in terms of the reactions. I'll even throw in another one. I'll say I'm a little surprised. I just sort of felt like with the off season that Kansas City has had to date, and that includes the free agency period, the trades, the draft, including all that. I didn't know if Desiree Scott it was in the plans for Kansas City Current. I'm like, wow, like, well, maybe there's something happening in other areas where we witnessed so many players in this free agency period exercise their free agency. And many of them have made moves. I think that's something that we're going to walk away with in this free agency period, where there were more players who exercised their free agency than those who directly signed with or re-signed with their clubs. Maybe once it's like official, like the season actually kicks off and we go down the list, and maybe it'll shake out that it was a little more even. But I think at this point, I think there's a few more who exercise the right to sort of re-sign and other clubs. So because of that, I'm a little surprised in a number of ways, just because, like I said, because of the moves that they made, I didn't know or see if this was really something where it's like, okay, they still had this particular player in their bigger picture, in their plans for next season. And at this point in free agency, if you're looking at like who are maybe some of your kind of ready available midfielders, that would be Desiree Scott would be a player that other teams would really try to wrangle onto their own rosters. But something very cool that we've heard coming out of free agency, when as players have made these decisions to sign with new clubs, a lot of them talking about the things that matter to them. And what we've heard with Kansas City, we've heard constantly about the environment. We've heard constantly about the facilities that are available to them. The player first sort of mentality, the fact that they're coming off of a championship finals appearance, that is very important to these players. We heard Davinia talking about that, Mark Gutraw, Vanessa DiBernardo, et cetera. These are all players on this free agency list that have at minimum, 6 years of playing time within the league. So these are veteran players. These are players in much different in their careers. So I would anticipate that, making sure that you're on a team that can contend for titles is probably pretty high on the list at that point in your career. So congratulations to Karen on nabbing another midfielder to their roster, not just any old midfielder. I mean, we're talking about Desiree Scott, someone who's had a pretty prolific career at this point in NWSL, but also internationally. She's been a force for Canada's national team, has been with the Canadian national team since she was 16. So, multiple Olympic medalists coming off of the gold medal in the Tokyo Games. So I'm curious to see how it will play out. I would imagine that if all goes well and she remains healthy and informed, that she's a player that Beth Priestman in Canada will be taking to a World Cup. So, perhaps there's a little bit of a conversation about what her role is for club this season.
I think it's interesting, though, to kind of put out there that congrats Kansas City, because I agree with them. As Desiree Scott is a free agent, I imagine she had plenty of other offers because she is a veteran. She is a versatile player. She can play in that defensive six. She can run a midfield. She's got a lot of experience doing it for domestically in the NWSL. And as you said, for Canadian women's national team, she won gold, right? Like, this is a player that has so much experience, and any team would be lucky to get her. But I think it speaks a lot to what Kansas City is building in KC right now. The fact that they've got all these great facilities. And I'm just curious what those conversations were, whether it was with Davinia or with Desiree Scott, as to kind of how these players fit onto the roster. And maybe with someone like a Davinia, you say hey, you're gonna fit on here. If you come here, we'll find a spot for you. You're gonna run this midfield. But how do you have those conversations then with someone like a Desiree Scott? I just, as a player in free agency, that's one thing you have to look at a roster and say, hey, where do I fit into this? And it's a little full. There's a lot of cooks in the kitchen there for Kansas City in their midfield.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what it looks like come opening day for NWSL, but not just Kansas City involved in acquiring new players or re-signing players. North Carolina has been pretty active in the headlines when it comes to player movement. Let's start with some movement between North Carolina and Angel City FC. Tyler Lucy moving over to North Carolina Courage in exchange for defender Merritt Mathias to Angel City. Had spent 5 years with the Courage. And I think with this trade, a little bit of similar energy, we're just kind of like, okay, so there's movement happening with North Carolina out of the draft. I mean, they're making an exit from the 2023 draft, having acquired four players in that draft, but also trading away a very you know, what could have been potentially a cornerstone kind of building piece for this franchise, but trading Ordóñez to Houston Dash. And we had talked about, we'd given a lot of reaction to that as well. If you're looking for it, please go back and check out the episodes. But part of that was that it was such a young player already making a request for a trade. And that was the most curious part about it for me. This is a nice Sandro statement that I'm not, this is not sourced or anything like that. This is just me sort of just reacting to it then and even reacting to it now. And then they follow all of that up with this trade for Lucy and Matthias. And now at this point, you're looking at a veteran player. Again, a player who's been with the Courage for a long time, has won multiple titles, now on the move to Angel City.
Yeah, and we talked about Diana Ordóñez and that North Carolina letting her go. That's how I'm saying it, because they let her go. They should not have. We talked about this when this trade happened. It was right around the draft, the NWSL draft in early January. And we talked about how I, as a North Carolina person, a coach, anyone there, would not have let her go. I would have said, you're here to stay forever and ever. After we lose to Vigna, after everything that happens, you're not leaving us. And ruthless. They let Diana. I'm being very honest right now. But now we see that North Carolina had entirely other plans for their 2023 than I could have ever predicted, because they send Merritt Mathias, 5-year veteran with North Carolina, defender, to Angel City FC. So Angel City bulking up their back line because they traded away Tyler Lucy, who is a forward, right? Was drafted out of Princeton as a forward, played some time in the Pacific Northwest, and then made her way to Angel City as a forward. And Freya Coombe very swiftly decided to convert Tyler Lucy to an outside back, and a pretty good one at that. She did a great job in outside back role, but we also didn't see a lot of rotation from Freya Coombe and Angel City. So Lucy really didn't play up front at all for Angel City. So now we see Lucy going to North Carolina. I think she's going to be back in the front line. I do, but this was after this initial trade of just losing Merritt Mathias to Angel City. But then North Carolina continues to go on this dominant trading spree that they're on right now. And they end up trading away a couple more defenders in Abby Ersig and Carson Pickett. So now I'm thinking, okay, maybe Tyler Lucy is going to play along the back line for North Carolina Courage. That's one thing that I'm really interested to see. Initially, I was like, okay, Lucy's going to become a forward again for Sean Nahas in North Carolina. But now, after they lose Merritt Mathias, Abby Ersig, and Carson Pickett, I'm just not so sure.
Well, let's just dive right into that trade, because there's a lot of movement and acquisition that North Carolina has made. So we'll just dive into that. That's the next big trade, I think, that everybody really wants to hear us chat about, that involves North Carolina Courage. Again, recent news between the Courage and Racing Louisville FC, a big trade with Emily Fox making her way back to North Carolina, the Tar Heel Nation, in exchange for Abby Ersig and Carson Pickett. Two defenders for one player, I think, is maybe the first thing that people are looking at when you look at the reaction of this trade. The other thing that I'm looking at too is the reaction of players and sort of what they have to say. I mean, we're just talking about Lucy going to North Carolina in exchange for Matthias, and Matthias taking to her Instagram and penning what was sort of a bit of a nice farewell to North Carolina Courage and then the fans there, which to me maybe sort of speaks that perhaps that move was somewhat mutual, at least in terms of the movement. The Matthias is just like, hey, it's been a ride, what a ride, and I'm moving on, right? And then you've got this trade between the Courage and Louisville. Fox to the Courage, Ersig and Pickett to Louisville. And Abby Ersig, longtime captain of the Courage, also taking to social media as well and saying that she was shocked and disappointed to be making an exit from the Courage. So a little bit of different verbiage utilized in some of these farewells. And Ersig being pretty vocal that kind of caught her off guard, and it wasn't something that was expected. Mm-hmm. But in terms of the players and the clubs involved in this particular trade, what does that mean for Racing Louisville to get two players in Ursic and Pickett? Or what does that mean for the Courage to get a player like Fox?
Yeah, I think for North Carolina to get a player like Emily Fox is huge, because they've now lost Merritt Mathias, Carson Pickett, and Abby Ursig. So you have to bolster up your back line somehow. I think it's really big for Emily Fox to be quote unquote returning home. This is a player that played her years collegiately at North Carolina as a Tar Heel. And I think that it's a move that maybe she wanted to see for herself as well. It benefits the player in that sense. But the name that Emily Fox has made for herself at Racing Louisville is a big one, right? She solidified her spot at the U.S. international level, playing with the women's national team. This is a person and a player that has done a lot in just 2 years in the NWSL, which is really impressive to see how it unfolded. But I think you also really have to look at what North Carolina is losing in all of this. Yes, they gain an international defender who's most likely going to be gone for the World Cup, mind you, for 2 months in the summer. But they've also now lost Abby Ursig, Carson Pickett, and Merritt Mathias. Those are your outside backs that dominated the league last year. They are prolific. They understood how North Carolina was playing. They understood the system. They understood what everything was going to look like. And Abby Ursig, your captain, your namestay in the center back, your New Zealand international that just retired from the international game, said she wasn't going to be competing with New Zealand during the 2023 Women's World Cup to focus on her club play. That was her words, not mine. And now you trade her away. And Abby Ursig, not too happy about this trade from what I could see on her social media, posting out there on Instagram saying that she was surprised by this trade and she was sad to leave North Carolina, a place that she had made her home over the last several years, a place that she found happiness and found joy and loved playing for the club and for the fans that were there. Of course, being a good sport and a nice person that she is, was like, okay, well, Racing Louisville, I'm excited to get there and I'm excited to see what I can do for you. But this was a big surprise to Abby Ursig. And I think that hurts a little bit for a club and for a player like that to see that kind of shift happening there. But I'm really curious to see what's going to come of North Carolina this year. What is going to be about them, right? They still got Caroline. They've got some other players. They also re-signed defender Ryan Williams in the midst of all of this, 3 years through 2025. So they are keeping some of their defenders. And I mean, getting Emily Fox is huge for them, but I think Racing Louisville wins in this trade a little bit, but in getting Carson Pickett and Abby Ursig, I think that's a big get for them too. Yes. Yeah. You lose one big defender, but you gain two.
I hear you on that. I think for me, there's a little bit of like TBD on this, in terms of like a grade overall. I think if it was a Fox or a Pickett, I think even that's pretty even in terms, like, if you're looking at a player,
I agree,
that you're going to slot in positionally and what that's going to look like. I mean, we're talking about Carson Pickett had such a great, I'll just say like tenure with North Carolina Courage. Not even, I was going to say just like last season, but she had a great couple of seasons with this team. But just coming off of last season, I mean, like an assist leader, like within the league, someone who can really just sort of set up teammates and get involved in the attack and cover a lot of ground when you need her to. And I think you can sort of echo that sentiment with a player like Fox.
I agree.
Right?
I agree. That's why, to me, Racing Louisville won this, because they got a leg to trade in Carson Pickett, and then they end up getting a veteran center back to shore up their back line with what they've got. And they also got Paige Monahan in this offseason.
Yeah, coming out of the draft. Yeah, and trading with Gotham. I think in terms of the two, like, there's clubs in this league that are clearly in the process of rebuilds, right? And I think you could look at the two teams involved in this trade and say, like, those are two of those clubs. And I'm just a little curious about, I think like the TBD for me is also like, you know, how, like, where is Emily Fox going to fit in for 2023? Again, this is a player increasingly involved in the pool of players for the United States women's national team. Is there a possibility that we don't see Emily Fox get as much time in 2023 with the Courage as maybe, you know, they're anticipating, or like, what does that contract look like with her time in North Carolina versus a Pickett and an Ursegg with Racing Louisville? So I think the number of moves that they've been involved with have sort of signaled that. I mean, we saw even just in last offseason, sort of the exodus from this club in, you know, players like a Sam Mewis or Lynn Williams or Jess McDonald, right? And how that has now trickled over into a second consecutive offseason. And now you can go down a list of players who are now absent from this team, and whether it's an Ursegg or a Pickett or a Mathias or a Dabinia that they lost in free agency. So in terms of like players who have been around for some time and can continue to be that kind of veteran piece for the team, you're sort of looking around and saying like, well, who's it going to be? Is it going to be Denise O'Sullivan? Again, this is another player that is likely also going to be absent in 2023 for the World Cup with Ireland. Yes. So I think if you're North Carolina, there's a potential for one of your pitches to players or selling points to players is that this is a place where you can come in and compete and potentially win a starting role with this team, but you got to get in here and compete for it. So lots of movement. If you're North Carolina Courage, players coming in, coming out, touching how they signed Danish forward Miguel Jensen to a 2-year contract through 2024. So a forward there. I think with this recent trade, maybe we will see Tyler Lucy utilized in the back line. You know, they made it official announcement of their assistant coaches. I thought this was kind of funny to sort of see the release come out, but Fabrice Catraw named as a full-time assistant coach, and this all coming out after the draft when he was very clearly at the draft, like at the draft table, like making the sheds a little backwards. But shout out to all the clubs that were like in a fury to get out those press releases that they had so many assistant coaches, because so many of them were going to be at the draft. For example, like Ella Masser with Chicago or Scott Parkinson with the Rain. But here's Guitrat. That release obviously got put on the back burner a little bit, but he's officially in an assistant coaching role with the Courage. But Angel City also making the announcement that they've got Melissa Phillips from London City Lionesses as a new first assistant coach. So a lot of movement, a lot of new coaching assistant coaches into the mix for certain clubs. Racing Louisville participating in that trade with North Carolina, but also making the announcement that they have extended goalkeeper Katie Lund through 2025.
Yeah, I think a huge, huge grab for Racing Louisville to secure Katie Lund. This is a player that was put under fire last year, put in front of a brick wall and said, fend for yourself at times. And I think Lund did an exceptional job in 2022 with kind of everything that was thrown at her between the sticks. She ended the year last year, 2022, as with the league record of 112 saves in a season. And you and I talked about it on here. Like, that is fantastic for Katie Lund. She had 6 clean sheets. She started every single regular season match for Racing Louisville. But Racing Louisville's defense was also pretty weak last year. So Katie Lund was put under bullet fire a lot last year. This is a huge grab to kind of secure a player like Katie Lund through 2025, shore up that back line, have a little bit of consistency in goal, as she was their goalkeeper last year. And now adding some players like Abby Ursay, Carson Pickett in front of that back line, Paige Monahan, we could see her play across the back line for Racing Louisville as well. Jalen Howe, Savannah DeMello in the midfield. Racing Louisville, they're coming out of this offseason with a little bit of strength that they've got across their back line. But with re-signings and everything that comes, there's always a bit of some sad news or bittersweet news, I should say, when players announce their retirement. Darian Jenkins, forward, most recently with Orlando Pride, has announced her retirement. A tremendous career for Jenkins in the NWSL, bounced around at a couple different clubs, and now saying that she's out, she's finished with the NWSL, and she's going to continue on with her life. Really happy for Jenkins and everything she's done, and best of luck to her and what's next for her.
I will just say on the news of five thoughts on Jenkins, but before saying that, with Katie Lund, I think it was a great signing. Love the clean sheets that she got. But I think the fact that she had so many saves and she had so many clean sheets, I think sort of also like symbolizes that Racing had some struggles on defense. It's a very curious stat for a goalkeeper. I think when they have so many saves in a season, you have to ask like what's happening in your midfield, and then by extension, what's happening on your back line. But I think it's a smart decision to sort of lock up your goalkeeper for the next few seasons. So I love that for them. And I'm really interested to see now what that's going to look like for Katie Lund now that she's going to have that type of support and somebody like an Abby Ersig in front of her as well. So already making some moves for Louisville in that defense, and we'll see what that looks like in 2023. And I'm with you in terms of the reaction to Darian Jenkins and making her exit from playing professionally. It's always sad. I think when there's a layer of sadness that comes with that when you hear players making their retirement, because so often in the women's game, we see these retirements come at ages that you maybe wouldn't see on the men's side of the game. Darian Jenkins announcing this at the age of 28. She had just joined the Pride in 2022. I think sort of unfortunately kind of closing out the season with a little bit of a lingering injury, and through her career, unfortunately, wasn't a stranger to that. I mean, she mentions that in her farewell statement and saying that she made the decision to hang up her boots, and she's really proud of herself for how much she overcame in every phase of her career. But Darian Jenkins really sort of becoming very quickly in this league when she got drafted, essentially what was a bit of a journeywoman throughout this league, having played with a number of teams before closing out her career with Orlando Pride. And I think about her and I think about the type of player she is and what it could have looked like maybe without some injuries, but what she has meant to multiple rosters in the past across this league. And when you think about the NWSL and sort of this next era, this next decade that they're looking towards and trying to take that next step forward, so many of these rosters are built upon players like a Darian Jenkins. Yes. So yes, you've got your really big international players that are going to get headlines, whether that's United States women's national team players or even Canadian internationals or Brazilian internationals, et cetera, right? But your players that are coming from just making that leap from, you know, playing collegiately, going pro, getting drafted in NWSL and just trying their best to navigate their careers in the past decade in this league, I would anticipate was pretty tough at times. So I'm someone who's very, very grateful for the careers and the players like a Darian Jenkins. And there's plenty more calibers of players like her across the league, and we'll eventually have to make those types of decisions of their own for retirement. But we loved having her on the show. It was great to chat with her on A3 ahead of that 2022 season with the Pride. Definitely, you all should go check it out if you get the chance. If you want to just relive Darian Jenkins' time in NWSL, check it out if you can. But best wishes to her. Definitely has said that she wants to have a role still within the game of soccer, but maybe it'll just look different. It'll be off the pitch. All right. So we'll see what's next for the great Darian Jenkins. But that is going to be a wrap for us today at Attacking Third. Thank you all so much for listening to Attacking Third. Download, follow, listen to us anywhere you get your podcast. You can watch us too. Go ahead and subscribe to us on YouTube at youtube.com/TechThird. Get alerts whenever we go live. Like, follow, subscribe, leave those comments. We want to hear from you. For Sandra Herta and Lisa Roman, this was a Tech Thread.
New CBS Monday.
Federal agents.
Here's where we can see them.
NCIS Hawaii is back.
About to set it up.
New criminals to catch.
Armed robbery, aggravated assault, murder.
And new investigations to be solved.
These guys were good, but even masters make mistakes.
Vanessa Lachey and featuring LL Cool J.
Violin Island, you got it.
Welcome to paradise.
A new NCIS Hawaii, Monday, 10/9 Central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.